By chance, I witnessed the arrival of the three American women. I'd been reading in my garden for a couple of hours, taking a few notes and making black dots in the margins, a way to locate interesting sentences later without defacing the book. Around 4:30 on these early darkening days, some impulse toward dinner quickens, and I began to consider the veal chops in the fridge, and to think of cutting a bunch of the chard still rampaging through the orto. Chard with raisins, garlic, and orange peel. Thyme and parsley for the tiny potatoes Colin dug at the end of summer. Since the nights were turning chilly, I put down my book, grabbed the wood carrier from the house, and walked out to the shed to fetch olive tree prunings for the fireplace grill. Yet another escape. I am putting off writing about Margaret, my difficult and rigorous friend, whose writing I admired. Oh, still admire. But this project feels more like trying to strike mildewed matches. I keep rereading instead of writing. I've read her Stairs to Palazzo del Drago a dozen times. A book can be a portal. Each one I've written, firmly sealed off one nautiline chamber. Is nautiline a word, meaning pertaining to a nautilus? And then opened into the next habitable space. Always before, my subjects chose me. I'm the happy follower of fleeting images that race ahead, sometimes just out of sight, of lines that U-turn and break like the downside of heartbeats. Isn't Boustrophedon the ongoing form of writing that mimics the turns an ox makes when plowing a field? At times, writing conflagrates. A vacant lot fire started by bad boys. That's when I'm elated. But this time, I chose my friend as the subject. I feel as I did in college, slugging out a research paper on the concept of time in T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets. I enjoyed the work, but immediately felt humiliated by my limits. I'm easily distractible. Those shriveled apples on the third terrace, still golden and dangling as brightly as in the myth of the Three Graces, lure me to make a galette. Fitzy has burrs in his silky hair and needs brushing. My own hair has turned unruly. I would like to have a few friends over for polenta with mushrooms and sausage, now that the funghi porcini are sprouting under every oak tree. My mind surfs over endless diversions. When you're propelled by a sense of duty, you're easy to derail. As I picked dried branches from the woodpile, I looked down from the upper olive terrace as Gianni, the local driver, turned sharply into the long drive of the Malpiede place across the road, his white van crackling over dry stubble. Malpiedi, bad feet. I've always loved the Italian names that remind me of ones my friends and I adopted when we played wild Indians in the vacant lot by my family's house in Coral Gables. Wandering Bear, Deer Heart, Straight Arrow. One friend chose Flushing Toilet, but here it's Bucaletto, Hole in the Bed. Zappini, Little Hoe. Tagliaferro, Iron Cutter, and Stranger, Taglia la Gamba, He Cuts the Leg. Maybe a butcher specializing in leg of lamb? Cipollini, Little Onion, Taglia sopra, Cut Above. Bellocchio, Beautiful Eye. How alive those names are. Early in my years in Italy, fascinated by every syllable, I used to collect them. In hotels, when there were telephone books, I'd read the names at night for the pleasure of coming upon Camino Merde, Chimney Shit, there's a story there, and pipi seca, dry pipe, or penis. The sublime Botticelli, little barrel.